from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, September 30th. Coming up, an area weekly newspaper is closing its doors after more than 140 years of publication. That story from Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows. But first, these headlines. Illinois lawmakers gleaned new information from a Commonwealth Edison executive who testified before them. That's in the wake of the utility's own admission that it took part in a bribery scheme to influence House Speaker Michael Madigan. Tony Arnold reports.
The bipartisan House panel is investigating Madigan, and lawmakers called ComEd executive David Glockner as their first witness. Republicans tried to get Glockner to show that Madigan was directly involved in getting ComEd to give no-work contracts to his associates. Glockner revealed that Madigan's office assistant forwarded the resume of a man to ComEd, who was later appointed to the utility's board, and that the company paid four lobbyists with ties to Madigan to give out no-work contracts. Madigan faces no criminal charges, and he denies wrongdoing. I'm Tony Arnold.
Governor J.B. Pritzker announced yesterday that one of his staff members tested positive for COVID-19. Pritzker and all other close contacts with the staff member will isolate for the next 14 days. The staffer was present at several events with the governor last week, including in Chicago and Marion. A contact tracing effort is underway. The governor's office says all staff members will be required to be tested and must test negative to return to the office. The University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign's saliva-based COVID-19 test does not have emergency use authorization from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, despite prior claims. Illinois Newsroom's Lee Gaines reports.
The U of I claimed in August that it had emergency use approval after completing a bridging study comparing its test to a saliva COVID-19 test created by Yale University. The Yale test did get authorization from the FDA, and a spokesperson for the U of I says that they were told by a consultant that the U of I could claim its test was operating under the authorization granted to Yale. But then, earlier this month, the U of I was contacted by the FDA and asked to stop saying its test had authorization under the umbrella of Yale's test. A spokesperson for the U of I says they updated the language they used to describe their test. Faculty at the U of I say they're still working toward its emergency use authorization from the FDA, and they can continue using the test even without it. I'm Lee Gaines, Illinois Newsroom.
Champaign Unit 4 Schools proposed a plan for hybrid in-person and distance learning for elementary students in the second quarter at its board meeting last night. The hybrid plan includes half days in person, social distancing, and wearing masks, but it currently does not offer in-person options for 6th to 12th graders. Susan Zola is the superintendent at Champaign Unit 4 Schools.
This is where there's a lot of disappointment from families right now. High schools and middle schools live on a semester model, and it would be a very, very hard pivot at this point to rebuild a master schedule midway through the semester.
51% of parents surveyed said they'd prefer some form of in-person learning, but the school does not currently have a COVID-19 testing plan for when hybrid classes would begin on October 26th. Champaign County reported 42 new COVID-19 cases yesterday, bringing the total to more than 4,600. There are currently 8 people hospitalized in the county, and the death count remains at 20. Officials on the University of Illinois Urbana campus reported 36 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. The data from testing conducted on Monday showed a drop in the single-day positivity rate to 0.34%. The 7-day rolling positivity rate fell slightly to 0.4%. Still to come, the Rantoul Press issue on newsstands today will be the last, as the paper is closing its doors after more than 140 years. That's next on 217 Today.
IllinoisNewsroom.org is your source for news about education, the environment, health, politics, and more from WILL. Now you can receive our stories directly in your inbox. Sign up for our weekly newsletter at IllinoisNewsroom.org for stories you can't find anywhere else in Central Illinois. Another service from WILL, your source for quality, trusted journalism.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Today's edition of the Rantoul Press will be the last one. The weekly paper and its website are shutting down, ending a relationship with the town in northern Champaign County, which began in 1875. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows has more.
Rantoul's population was in the hundreds when the Rantoul Press opened as the town's first newspaper, originally called the Rantoul News. Over the years, the paper reported on Rantoul as its population grew to 25,000 under the impact of the Chinook Air Force Base. And the Rantoul Press chronicled the town's efforts to recover after the base closed in the 1990s. Rantoul Historical Society President Jim Cheek says they have a good run of the paper's back issues in their archives.
It was there at the turn of the century. In 1901, Rantoul had what we call the Great Fire, and it burned the whole downtown area, all the businesses, every one of them burned down, including the press. The building that the press was in, which was a one-room, small, big enough for two people and a printing press. And as a matter of fact, we have that equipment that was in the original fire in the museum now. And we do have on file paper archives from 1913 up until, well, until they go out of business this week.
When you look at those old issues of the Rantoul Press, are there particular stories that stand out, particular events?
The interesting thing when you look back at the older issues is that it was not only Rantoul news, but it was news that reached way out into the smaller farm communities. So the press kind of gave light and credit to all the smaller towns around us, as well as the news here in town. Births, deaths, anniversaries, weddings, car wrecks, robberies. But they also had a lot of articles in the earlier papers about how people came to Rantoul in large numbers to attend the yearly horse show and the fall festivals and stuff like that. We even have an article that shows our main street full of horse and buggies that was taken by the press back in the day. And we had about 100,000 people from three state area come here for the big horse show hoopla, that I thought was kind of amazing. I didn't know they had 100,000 people in this area back during then.
Dave Hinton has been the editor of the Rantoul Press since 2006. Hinton came to the Rantoul Press after several years with the Daily Record in Paxton, a smaller town to the north in Ford County.
It was good. I slowly got to know people, and Rantoul is kind of a unique town in that it's kind of a rural setting with part of a metropolitan population. So it was a little different for a farm boy to come to, but not too much, not too dramatic.
Now, when you came on with the Rantoul Press, newspapers were already beginning to feel the impact of just all the changes in mass media, which have made
right
just the economic model for print newspapers very difficult to sustain. What was that like in the Rantoul Press over the years?
The press was kind of unique in that back in the 50s, they decided to go to an all-free paper, so everybody got one. I think the reason they did that was you could tell the advertisers, hey, everybody's getting this paper. But with social media and everything else, it got more difficult to find advertisers. So that's what drives the newspaper business. It's not the cost of a subscription. That just basically covers the cost of getting the paper out. Where you make your money is through retail or the big block ads. And when you have car dealers that no longer advertise and don't have grocery stores that advertise as much, it has an impact.
That's Dave Hinton, the last editor of the Rantoul Press, which is ending its 145-year run after printing today's edition. Hinton will continue to report on Rantoul and surrounding communities as the editor of the county section of the News Gazette. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Tony Arnold, Lee Gaines, Christine Herman, Lesha Bushak, and Jim Meadows. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.